Listener Production.
Driving a truck, it's frightening because you do understand that the likely outcome of a head-on smash with a car and a truck is that the motorist in the car is likely to die. Even if you're not responsible for that accident, that's something that I know people carry for the rest of their lives.
That's Craig, and we'll hear more of him in this podcast, a brutal but really important reminder of some of the things that motorists and drivers often take for granted when we get into autopilot mode. Wherever you are driving in Australia, you are going to be sharing the road with other road users that aren't always going to be just cars either. So Craig, for example, is a truckie. He knows all too well what can happen if someone driving a smaller vehicle that isn't respectful of those vehicles that take up a little more space, what can happen in those situations. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Lisa.
Great to have you with us here from my drive school. Lisa Scaife, this is Keep Your Wheels On, the podcast where you're going to hear from real people talking about mistakes that have perhaps resulted in them crashing a car or narrowly avoiding a situation that could have been much, much worse. And along the way, we'll be joined by experts to chat about how you can do your best to avoid ending up in a similar situation. Lisa, the theme for today's episode, really simple one, but an important one, and that is sharing the road.
Absolutely. Car drivers, unfortunately, are not taught to really share the road with other road users. And obviously, trucks and heavy vehicles, buses, freight trains take up a lot more space. They're a lot heavier. Truck drivers are taught to drive with cars, but car drivers aren't taught to drive with trucks.
Our expert for this episode, you might affectionately know as Trucking with CJ on all the various platforms out there. We're talking about Kasharina Smith, a South Aussie truckie, a FIFO worker who often is working in WA. As we talk to you, though, you are in the Northern Territory. Welcome to the podcast. What are you doing in NT?
I'm just up here visiting some friends and also getting the opportunity to film some of the truck drivers that I know through my social media. So just having a little R&R before I fly back to WA on Friday.
Well done. Thank you very much for joining us today. Worth telling our audience, how did you become a truck driver?
I was actually an insurance broker for 7 years. And then when I was 26, I decided to change careers and went into driving trucks alongside my sister and my dad.
So both your sister and your dad drive trucks as well?
My sister was a truck driver. She's the one that encouraged me to jump out of the insurance industry. So yeah, my dad and I still drive trucks and my sister went into management and ended up running a concrete plant.
How did you get into the whole notion of safe truck driving and becoming that passionate advocate for it?
I just felt that I wanted to be the mentor that I couldn't find for myself. When you start out in the trucking industry, you're kind of thrown in the deep end a little bit. There's no real people online that you can go to try and get advice from. You either find yourself a really good mentor in real life or you have to figure it out for yourself. So I wanted to be there for other people and share the knowledge that I knew, because a lot of our truck drivers in the industry are actually aging and retiring. So we're losing a lot of that knowledge as they retire. So I'm trying to share that information that I learn along the way.
It's great what you're doing with Trucking with CJ, because you're right, it is a very aging industry.
Yeah.
And they're battling to actually attract young drivers back into the industry.
I think every single industry is struggling to get workers at the moment, but quite often it's overwhelming not knowing how to get in. And I'm finding I am getting a lot of feedback from people saying they're now entering the industry because I've opened their minds to that as a career. So just one little step at a time. But I think that, yeah, unless they have a family member who was already a truck driver, they might not know how to get into the industry.
Kasharina, the theme of today's episode is the importance of sharing the road. And we want to kind of do that from a driver's perspective. And it's really important, I think, for our young drivers that are perhaps listening and so on, so that we get a bit of a grasp of this and that we are reminded of that. As I said at the top of the pod, we sometimes switch into autopilot, don't we? And we forget about that.
Yeah, I think a lot of road users, I don't think that they're actively wanting to be negligent. I think it's maybe just a lack of education and a lack of awareness, because unless you have sat in one of our big trucks, you wouldn't understand what we can see.
Hold that thought around awareness and what you can see, because I reckon that'll be a topic of our conversation as we go here. So CJ is the perfect guest, or Kasharina is the perfect guest to be joining us to speak about sharing the road, because not only do you drive big trucks, you're also a car driver and you're even a motorcycle rider. So
that's cool.
I reckon that is cool too. So you've seen it really from all sides. The voice that you would have heard at the top of the podcast today is Craig, who is sharing his story. He's a truck driver, and it seems like almost every truck driver can speak to incidents that they've faced along the way with cars. So let's meet Craig and find out a bit more about his story.
Yeah, g'day, my name's Craig. I've been involved in the heavy vehicle industry for many years. I have got to the point now that I believe that my place in the industry is to help teach and inform people about how we can all act on the road together better. My first car was actually an old HB Tirana, which was a paddock basher on the farm. We were very lucky that we grew up in that environment to learn all about how to control a car or how you get out of control without being on the road. So yeah, whether it was a tractor or a truck or whatever, yeah. So getting my car licence, I had moved to Wagga to get a job. I had to go for it with a testing officer who didn't like overconfident people. I actually failed my first test because of being overconfident. So the second time I did it, I left my V8 Falcon at home and I took a Chimera, I think, at the time. That was one of the work vehicles, so yeah, it probably gave me a little bit less of the hoon status. Well, I've always been fascinated with machinery, not so much trucks as a rule, but being on the land, we've always had the opportunity for driving trucks and tractors and all sorts of things, and yeah, multi-combination styles of things. So there's been a passion there more so for machinery and large trucks and things like that. My first trip, it was still a little scarier to be on a road in a larger vehicle, probably where you start driving into the cities and that, because we were from the country, so you do tend to be a bit more careful. But yes, I'll admit going into the city for the first time was a little scary, and then even with larger combinations, it's still worrying. And even to this day, when you're entering somewhere where you haven't been before, and particularly in a multi-combination vehicle where going backwards is not really an option, you tend to be a little more careful.
I love that. So clearly Craig has a passion for things with engines and wheels. Casharina, you've talked about how you got into it. What do you love about driving trucks so much?
I love the fact that I'm not confined to an office every day. You know, my views are constantly changing. I get to see some of the best parts of Australia that a lot of people otherwise wouldn't get to see. You know, not having anyone looking over your shoulder and just kind of the freedoms what I'm really attracted to.
It's a great lifestyle.
It is.
Craig mentioned the nerves he had on that first drive there. Can you give us, you know, an insight into what your early drives were like and the feeling that left you with?
I was terrified.
Were you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm a hoon. Like, I love going fast on motorbikes, and I used to race motocross and all of that. But getting into a truck, you really just don't realize just how big it is. And I got my license, my very first license up in Darwin, and I had to go on the Stuart Highway with all the road trains, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, they're so big. And then when I first got my first truck driving job, it was in Adelaide, and I was driving a concrete truck, and I remember I couldn't even get up to 60 k's an hour because he just felt so big in the lane, and you had cars just whizzing past you. So I was terrified, but very quickly got over that. But it is a bit nerve-wracking, but I think that's good. It makes you safe.
But, I mean, that's, you know, that's your vision as a truck driver. Imagine the car drivers. And what's weird about it is they actually really have no perception of your vision. Yeah. And they have no perception of how heavy you are and how long it takes you to stop or any of those things. So, you know, it's amazing how often I see, even in the city, people just pulling straight in front of trucks.
Yeah.
And you're going, dude, like, you can't do that. They can't stop. You know, and they just have no training or no understanding of that.
It is very scary. The average weight of an Australian car is around 2 ton. And around town truck that I used to drive was about 56 ton. And then now the trucks that I drive over in the mines are 300 ton.
That's big.
So you got to think that, yes, we've got really good brakes, but it's still going to take us quite some time to pull it up.
Just tell people listening about the kind of hours truck drivers are doing and the kind of training that you go through too.
Yeah, so there's three separate accreditations for truck drivers. You've got your standard hours, which is around 12 hours, work hours a day. And within that, you have to have a mandatory set of breaks within a certain amount of hours. I won't go into too technical because it gets complicated. Then there's a BFM, basic fatigue management. That means you can drive more hours. You can drive a little bit longer before your purpose break. And then there's advanced fatigue management. Those guys are driving very, very big hours. But, you know, we do the training to be able to get those accreditations. But say a standard truck driver is working around 12 hours a day.
That's a lot of hours.
Mm.
But even just to remain that focus for that amount of time, but at least you actually do have that fatigue training.
Yes.
Which, again, car drivers don't have.
Exactly.
The trucking industry, I think, does a lot better job of training their members than what cars do.
Yeah, and we're also policed on this as well. So you might see weighbridge stations on the highways and not know where they are. They open sporadically to pull trucks in and they go through our logbook and they can go back weeks and months. And if there's any discrepancies in there, you can get heavily punished and fined. So we do actually have to maintain a logbook as well. That is a physical document that can be pulled up at any time to make sure that you've kept all your fatigue breaks over your driving career.
I do a bit of work from time to time with the comedian and actor Shane Jacobson in the automotive space. He's a passionate lover of cars, bikes, and he's actually got a truck driver's license. And Kasherina, he often says that car drivers, particularly young car drivers getting their license for the first time and so on, should spend the better part of a day or a full day with a truck driver to actually get an appreciation of some of the things that we've been talking about here. You know, all that training that you've referred to a moment ago, that's fundamentally irrelevant in some ways if a driver is not educated. The driver needs to be educated too, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I am very passionate about thinking that when you get your license, you should do a mandatory one day or half a day with a truck driver, just driving around the city. The closest I can get to that at the moment is just showing footage from inside my truck. Education is everything, for sure.
We've just applied for some funding to actually, in all of my drive school programs, to actually put heavy vehicles, buses, trucks, cycles, and motorbikes in all programs. So people actually doing this, our simulation training, can actually really understand the differences about sharing the roads with all those different vehicles.
You're going to save some lives there.
That'll be an absolute game changer because they will realise if, you know, because they can safely cut in front of a truck and realise that they can't stop and they will get run over. But it's online, not on road.
Kasherina, one thing I will say, I have a motorbike license. I probably don't ride them as often as you do, but I know the moment you get the kit on and you step onto the bike, your whole awareness changes for different things. Is that driver going to come out of this driver? Where's the guy in the lane beside me going and so on? And I wish that drivers would switch on that style of thinking when they're in their car in terms of an awareness for trucks. Where I want to go here is, you know, is it fair to say that most truck drivers, those that you're talking to and interacting with quite regularly, have faced an incident or a close call of some kind, and how often does that kind of happen?
Every single truck driver has experienced some very foolish behaviour on the road, and it's terrifying. We just see it all the time.
Well, the stats are trucks are involved in approximately 18% of all fatalities, but of those 18%, over 80% are not the truck driver's fault.
But guess what? Guess who gets the blame all the time? It's always the truck driver's fault.
Absolutely. Yeah. The big one gets the blame.
Well, in terms of some of the storytelling you've heard in this episode, Craig is no different to what Kasherina has been saying in some respects. And we're going to find out shortly about just one of the cases that he's faced. But Craig did share some thoughts on the challenges that drivers, just like Kasherina, can face.
In a car, you can see what's right next to you quite easily. In a prime mover and multi-combination in particular, there are blind spots that you can't see without, well, some of them you cannot see at all. So you have to drive predicting what other people are going to do or where they are. So if you're sitting at the left-hand steer tyre of a truck, there's a fair chance he doesn't know you're there. He may have watched you come up beside him, so he sees you there, but if you sit there for a minute on a dual lane highway, he may not realise you're still there. You may have turned off or something. So he might then indicate and go to move over and you're still sitting there. So it's learning those spots and where not to sit. Cars that pull in front of trucks coming into traffic lights and things like that. Trucks, in most cases, are leaving enough room for them to stop. So by you pulling in front of them quickly and then hitting the brakes, yeah, it's dangerous because they don't have the same stopping capability. And yeah, sometimes you sit there and if it's a truck with a large bonnet and you pulled in there, they may not even see you at all. It's something that other motorists need to understand, that where they should sit in relation to where they are with a heavy vehicle. So if you are sitting in a blind spot, be aware that that truck driver cannot see you.
So it might sound like for most drivers that cars being hard to see for truckies is the bleeding obvious, right? He talks about blind spots there, Casharina. How bad are they?
Yeah, so Craig explained this very well. Blind spots change depending on the vehicle. I did do a video once trying to explain a blind spot and the general public came for me saying that I was too short to do the job because they were completely unaware that it's got nothing to do with my height. It's actually just the way the vehicle is designed. So we are always driving, looking at our mirrors. We're always trying to figure out where everyone is around us. But there are some spots that if a car just sits and hovers in that spot, we can't see them. What I just try to say to people is just keep moving. Don't hover beside a truck. Just get past us, depending on how big the bonnet is. And even if there is a cab over, which means there's no bonnet, there's still going to be blind spots around us.
I mean, how the heck can you combat that? It actually sounds like it's more training the car driver.
Yeah, it's about training everyone on the road. You know, there's only so much we can do. There are some modern technologies coming out with cameras on your dash and having the footage of those spots. But still, that's a lot of stuff. We are constantly looking at dials. So there's a lot going on inside a cab. It's not just pointing and steering, you know what I'm saying? So if we can educate everyone on the road just to be aware and not sit in those spots, we will make a big difference.
Most people would be massively surprised at the amount of blind spots there are in a big vehicle.
Yeah, a lot of people have come at me saying, oh, well, you shouldn't have a bonnet on a truck, you know, because you've got a blind spot. People don't realise that those bonnets are actually quite, like, I used to drive a lot up the Stuart Highway to Cooper Pedy. Out there, we are dealing with massive cows, kangaroos, emus, all of that. If you're on a cab over, what's going to hit you? Like, you're hitting them. If you've got a bull bar and a bonnet, it's a bit of a crush zone. So for me, personally, I would prefer to have a bonnet out there because it's safer. So it's not a matter of just, oh, like, let's just do all cab over so you can see more. There's a lot of elements that come into this for designs of vehicles. And a lot of trucks with those big bonnets, we're only just coming into town to collect or drop off, and then most of our stuff is out of town. I always say to people, if you're driving up beside a truck, look at the mirror. If you can see the truck driver, you can see their face, we can see you. If you can't see, if you're looking and you can't see the mirror and you can't see the driver, just be aware that we probably can't see you and we don't know that you're there.
I love where you're going here, and you both have identified the need for greater awareness training in this, and I can't underscore that enough, right? But what about just people learning the limitations truck drivers face? I mean, we're often told with advanced driver training about stopping distances for vehicles and being aware of how long it takes to pull up a car at a certain speed and so on. Shouldn't we be aware of those types of limitations for a truck driver so that as a responsible car driver, you're aware of what a truck can and cannot do in a situation?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the physics of it, isn't it? It's just that thing is really like 56 ton, you said, or 300 ton.
And this is the thing, you're looking at a truck. There is, most of the time, a load will be concealed. So you actually have no idea if that truck is empty or if it's loaded.
Yeah.
So you cannot assume that that truck's going to be able to pull up because it might look just the same as every other truck, but you might not realize that that is at limit. That is on PBS, which means it's like a special permit to be an extra heavy weight. But you don't know. You just got to assume if you're looking at a truck, just give it respect. Just give it space and respect the driver because no one goes to work wanting to have an accident. No one goes to work wanting to, like, we all want to get home safe. And the trauma that comes around hurting someone else in the road is, like, life-changing.
Takeaway from this part of the pod, I think, is really simple there. Respect. That's excellent. Have you had an incident with someone that it's, you know, they've been in one of your blind spots, and how scary was that?
The close calls were a daily thing when I was on the road. That's why I've had a change of career for a bit, just going and doing a bit of mining just to have a bit of break off the road. Because, yeah, people just pulling out in front of you when you're driving full speed and they just come up to a highway and just flat out pull in front of you. That was really common on a highway. I was pulling three trailers of fuel and people, you'd see them and you're like, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And then they pull out in front of you and there's nothing you can do. Because we can't swerve. If we go to swerve to go around, our trailers will start swapping and then that's when we can tip really easily. Then we could take our people on our sides. So in those instances, you just have to hold it straight. Because, you know, everyone says, if you see a kangaroo, they say, just don't even try and swerve. You just got to hold it straight, right? And it's the same with us with car drivers, because there was actually one on the highway just yesterday, I think, or 2 days ago, where someone's braked, the truck has then had to try and avoid it, and then has squished the car to the right-hand side of it, you know? And again, all the stuff I was seeing on media made it look like it was a truck driver's fault until they found security footage to prove that it actually wasn't. It was a car that just decided to brake in front of him.
It happens regularly, and it's always, in terms of the media, sadly, it's always, you know, they always make out it was the truck driver's fault.
Yeah.
Whereas when all the investigations are done, the evidence is there. It's not the truck driver's fault. 80% of the time it's the car driver's, and it's because they're just not trained.
People do need to realise that there is a progression for truck drivers. So someone might be driving at a rigid, which means it's just a truck, the body's all in one, right? That could be a heavy rigid licence. That's where we start. And then there's a combination licence. So you go from your heavy rigid to your semi, which is one trailer, and then multi-combination. These are all thousands of dollars per course. There's theory, practical involved in this, and you have to have those licenses for a certain amount of years before you can go to the next stage. So people need to realize if they see a road train, which is a truck with multiple trailers, that driver has gone through extensive training and hours and years to get to that stage. We don't just jump in a truck and be able to drive it down the road. There's a lot of respect that comes in with these progressions and these levels of licensing.
So truck drivers are well trained. That's the really important thing here. As we explore why cars and car drivers might end up in some of these situations, why don't we go back to Craig and find out about an incident he went through with a ute driver.
So I was had an incident one morning. I left Gundawindi and I was only about 3 or 4 k's into the journey where on my right hand bend on a narrow bit of road, all of a sudden a ute with a trailer just appeared around a corner, and then he was actually just on my side of the road coming around a left-hand bend. In essence, he was out of control. He was not in his lane. So he sideswiped the truck, and I was very lucky that I had a spot to move over, and I noticed that he kept going. So I'd actually had to flag a car down to try to catch this person who'd run into me, and I knew their trailer was in no condition to keep going. So they dragged it down the road a bit, and I'd flagged a car down and managed to get down to there. And when I presented myself and asked them if they were okay, he sort of tried to tell me about that truck back there just came onto my side of the road and hit me. And when I said, well, that was actually me driving that truck, he was a bit shocked and then sort of had to back down a bit. But in that scenario, the only thing he was worried about was actually dropping the trailer that was half ruined on the side of the road and keep going. And I did find out later because that person had no license and the car was unregistered. He was negotiating like a left-hand slight bend in the road and obviously distracted by I don't know what. As a truck driver, you see this is so common. The amount of people that you see on their phones or eating their breakfast, and I'm serious when I say a bowl of cereal with a spoon, putting on makeup and things like that, it's actually frightening for how common it is. The distraction side is huge, and I believe that's the sole reason why that ute actually came across the road and ran into me. Luckily, no one was hurt. I would have been doing 90. So driving a truck, it's frightening because you do understand that the likely outcome of a head-on smash with a car and a truck is that the motorist in the car is likely to die. So it's frightening when these things happen and near misses, because you don't want to be a part of that. Even if you're not responsible for that accident, that's something that I know people carry for the rest of their lives. I've known people who have been involved in accidents involving trains, where the train driver has actually taken their own life 12 months after the train's run over somebody because of how that made them feel. So this is where every motorist has to, you know, behave themselves and do their best to prevent themselves from having an accident. That driver, that train, had done nothing wrong, yet his whole family's, you know, destroyed because of that incident. And that was from actually a motorist just not obeying signals. I've had close friends who have died in trucks because of the actions of car drivers. So when a truck leaves the road and crashes into a tree and bursts into flames, there's little chance for that as well. So even though you think always that a truck's just going to, you know, run into the car and push it off the side of the road, there can be components in that steering or whatever that break in a truck that veer it off the road. We have all come to believe that it's our right to drive on the road, but it's not. It's a responsibility, and if you're driving in an unsafe manner, you can not only lose your life, but either people in the car with you or someone that you might run into.
Craig's story and his storytelling seems to get more powerful as we go here, and there was so much wrong with the whole range of examples of distracted driving. I mean, from phones to, what was he talking about, breakfast there and so on. How often do you see these kind of distractions, Kasherina, and how much does it frighten you?
Everything that Craig said is just like hits home, because it's funny because we see it all the time, but unless you talk about it, when you hear someone else talk about it and you know, Craig explains it so well, but those things happen all the time. You're constantly seeing people on their phone. It's one thing to miss a red light because you've been sitting there just, you know, but it's when people are swerving over the road, or the fact that he said that they came around the corner, wrong speed, you know, come and then try to blame him. Everyone I know now have dash cams on their trucks just to protect themselves. No one wanted dash cams originally.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, but now they're like, nah, we have to, because then I see examples where the public's tried to blame the truck driver and then the proof comes out and they're like, oh, okay. The distracted driver thing, you know, it's right.
They've got to have 100% focus, because, I mean, I'm teaching my kids at the moment. I've got a 19-year-old and a 16-year-old, and when I'm in the car with them and they're doing their hours, I'm always looking at what's on the outside and, oh, do you see that dog over there? Or did you see that? Making them aware of absolutely everything that's going on around them, because that's the stuff that will hurt them, not the thing that's in cabin. But they need to focus 100% on what is going on around them. And that's what we need to teach all people, I think.
Yeah, another thing that a lot of car drivers probably don't realise is a lot of truck drivers, actually, we all have cameras facing us. So we have these fatigue cameras called a guardian system. It sits above our, like, where our eyes are, and it actually films our eyes, and it can tell if we start to fatigue or if we're distracted, and it'll set off an alarm. It'll start filming you, and it'll make your seat rattle. So it's A for fatigue if we start to fall asleep, have micro sleep, but it's also to make sure that we are held accountable and not distracted. So car drivers don't have to do any of this either, do they? So
no.
Initially, a lot of people felt very like their privacy was getting invaded by having those cameras. But once you have a micro sleep or anything like that, and that safety measure comes in, you realise, oh, it's such really good. And it also protects us in an accident, so you can prove, well, I wasn't doing anything wrong.
Both you and Craig have talked about the fact that in a scenario like this, death can be likely, you know, particularly for the car driver. It could be you that happens, right? Has this ever made you doubt what you do? I mean, you're doing some incredible work here around advocating safety and so on. You're clearly passionate about driving, but have you had moments of doubt?
Yeah. I have some very good friends in my circle. I have a very tight circle of friends who are truck drivers that I lean on in moments when there's been some really bad fatalities lately that have actually taken the lives of our colleagues, as in truck drivers. And I just am on the phone crying, just like, why are we doing this? Like, am I wasting my time? And, you know, it's just devastating, because it's not just one person that loses their life. It's the families that are left behind, and it's a generational trauma that then feeds through. And he mentioned about the train as well, and people blowing through them just to try and beat a train. I also have followers who are train drivers, and hearing from them the trauma that industry has copped a lot lately, because we think we're in these big rigs, we're going to be safe, right? Like, yes, it's going to be traumatic if we kill someone else as well, that no one wants that. And same with train drivers, you think that it'd just be the car. Actually, train drivers and truck drivers have been getting killed lately through horrific accidents, not always by that's their fault. This is something that I think about all the time. You know, it humanizes the experience, and you just like wonder if we're making a mistake, or if all this extra additional work that I do advocating is worth it. But then you get messages from people saying how much of a difference you've made to their lives. And, you know, families have messaged me saying that they sat around the kitchen table and shared one of my safety messages and had a discussion. And you're like, okay, well, maybe this is all worth it. But, you know, truck driving is a dangerous job. It just is.
I've got a friend of mine who was involved in a fatality. She's a truck driver. It took over 18 months for the coroner's report to come out that she wasn't at fault. But, you know, yes, there was a fatality and she's seriously suffering PTSD. It's tragic, absolutely tragic, because it was a young boy that was involved, you know, the driver of the other car, and she's really battling.
Well, I'm so sorry to hear that. That's just awful. You just don't wish it upon anyone.
No.
I don't care whose fault it is in an accident. No one wants to lose their life on the road. It's really hard to talk about because, you know, we don't want to talk about the sad things. We want to keep this positive and stuff. But the reality is, it's, you know, when I was a kid, my dad was a truck driver. And I remember every morning when he would go to drive trucks, I would make him waking up no matter how early it was. And I'd go and sit in the kitchen and have breakfast with him. And then he would drive down the driveway and I'd sit in the bay window and watch him drive down the gully and leave. Because I never knew if he was coming home. Mm. But I was a really little kid. Like, the mortality, I don't know whether I really understood. But then I told him later, like, Dad, like, every single day that you drove off, that's why. Like, I sat there because I was scared, like, you know, seeing you leave on the road. Mm. And my dad was really choked up when I told him that. I used to watch him until I couldn't see the lights anymore, and then I'd go back to bed. But if we can just keep doing what we're doing with all of this, you know, more of this, hopefully we can make a difference. And we can just, because we need, Australia stops without trucks.
Yeah, it does.
Every single thing that you touch has got to where you are because of a truck. So we need to all work and share the road to keep each other safe. It's not like we can just remove it. So, yeah, I do really feel for your friend, I and anyone who's been involved or affected in one way or another through a road incident. We shouldn't be dealing with this.
From early life experience and what you've just described there with your dad to what you do on a daily basis, this kind of thing is obviously a constant in your mind, right? Craig talked about things that can possibly break in the truck if you try and stop suddenly or in an incident situation, if you're trying to, you know, veer off the road. Have you had to stop urgently?
Yes, and it's very terrifying seeing all your trailers locking up smoke, the smells, and it's just, you sit there and your heart's in your throat and you're just like, oh my gosh, and then shaking for the next 10 minutes down the road. It's a really, really horrific feeling, especially for the roads wet, because if we jam out our brakes and we lock it up, our trailers can actually spin around and they won't stay behind the truck. So because we've got trailer brakes that we pull down and that acts like an anchor and straightens us up. If we hit our foot brake, that means that all the trailers can just start swapping and we can spin around and take our cars. So it's a very quick thought of like, am I pulling my trailer brakes? Am I doing, like, you know, in a car, you just pump on the foot brake. You can't do that in a truck. There's so many different elements. You've got your gears, your clutch, your brakes, your foot brakes, trailer brakes. So yes, I have, and it's horrific and scary.
So most truck drivers like Kasherina are also obviously car drivers, right? And Craig is no exception here. And we don't doubt that, you know, being a truck driver has clearly changed how he goes about his car driving as well. Worth hearing his thoughts on that.
So being a truck driver has definitely changed the way I drive my everyday vehicle. You actually get frustrated at people that speed into roundabouts and things like that because you are in that defensive mode from driving a heavy vehicle that you have to watch out for that sort of thing. So it does make you a very defensive driver and probably sometimes very frustrated to see how people act on the road. I believe driving around trucks is something that should be a strong component of having a car licence. So we all talk about the rights of a motorist on the road and what you can and can't do, but we have to face some very simple facts. If you're in a car or a four-wheel drive ute or something, you might weigh 3 tonne. You're out on the road nowadays with combinations up to 85 tonne just on the East Coast. So these vehicles will run over you and kill you. That's a given. It will happen if you decide that you want to have a fight with them. It's about respect. And if people can't understand that those vehicles are heavy, they take longer to stop, you can't see as well, and it's not design faults, it's just that's how it is. They're actually quite safe if we all can learn to be around them. We run a radio station. We have a magazine called Truck and Life, and recently we've started a program called Steering the Future. We plan to be putting some programs back into schools, bringing people together to understand the industry is actually very important to me. Everywhere you go, everything you buy, everything you do, is all gets there on a truck. And everybody wants to go to the shop and pick up the milk and bread and whatever else you need, but you've got to understand that it actually got there on a truck. Someone had to do that for a living. So give them some space. We have some campaigns out there at the moment through the National Heavy Vehicle Regulator. We all need space. So it's just being respectful for that other road user.
This is an audio experience, but for our interview, because Casuarina is in the Northern Territory, both Lisa and I can see you, and I can see that you nodded, that you smiled on several occasions there, basically acknowledging in all sorts of ways. Are you nearly crying there?
Oh, it's just, that was really humbling, because I recognise the voice at the very beginning. I know Craig, and he's an amazing man. Mm. And I actually have a column in that magazine that I write in, and where I share stories of other women in the industry. Mm. They've been working very hard behind the scenes to get that trailer together. I actually was the face of that campaign as well. We all need space with a heavy vehicle regulator. So
excellent.
Although he doesn't know that I'm doing this my end, then I didn't know he was doing his. It's like nice to see all the hard work that I'm doing being acknowledged.
It doesn't go unnoticed. You're doing a super job.
Because everyone just, you know, sees me online as a truck driver. They don't realize I do two and two, because of my 2 weeks off, I'm constantly doing all this additional work to try and make a difference. And it's exhausting, but I just want to make a difference.
You are, okay? That's the takeaway here. You are, and thank you for being on the show today.
You're making me cry now.
He talks about how it's changed him as a car driver. How's it changed your driving when you're behind the wheel of a car?
Yes. I have more respect because I'm in those trucks that I might not have had before. I was raised to know about this because my dad drilled into us the respect. Becoming a truck driver has made me a better car driver as well.
I would think definitely you'd be, you know, having the understanding and firsthand knowledge of motorbikes, trucks and cars, obviously, you know, would be huge benefit as a road user. And I'm with you. I think what you're doing is amazing. And the Steering the Future thing that Craig's doing, I think that'll be a really great initiative to help a lot more kids understand the issues around sharing the road with trucks.
Yeah, I hope it can make a difference. I hope I can play a big part in that as well with them.
My friend that I was talking about, she's a female truck driver, and I know quite a few, and probably because I'm a feminist and like to see females, you know, driving anything. And I did a bit of research last night. About 10 years ago, in the last 10 years, used to be about 3% female truck drivers, and it's increased to about 10% in Australia. Do you have any anecdotal or any, you know, reasons why more females might be actually getting in the industry? Or
and how do we get more of them involved too, clearly?
Absolutely.
I think that's fantastic to hear that statistic. I just want people to know that there's no reason why we can't do exactly the same as what our male counterparts can do. I think that I just love that I'm a feminist as well, but I go a much like, I don't talk about it too much because I just like to think that my representation of me doing the job is enough to show other women that you can. I don't like seeing women only things because I think that, you know, it goes against everything that I've stood for. I just like them to know that if I apply for a job, I'm going to get looked at just the same as what and my male counterpart can do, and that my driving speaks for itself. So I just want women to know that there's no reason why you can't do it. I am 5'3", 63 kilos, and I can change truck tires. I can do all the jobs that the guys can do. There's always a way to find a technique to make it work for us. And just know that most of the men in the industry actually love nurturing and mentoring us. Like there isn't, in my personal life, to my face, I never have rudeness or disrespect online, yes, but that is a very disgusting area of the world. Social media can be really awful, but in real life, I'm always met with respect and kindness. And I want other women to know that if you enter it too, I would love to hope that it's going to be your experience as well. And if not, reach out to people like myself, because there is a real underground army of women who all support each other fiercely.
Casuarina, you've been fabulous here. What are the key messages that, in wrapping this up, that you would like to leave our listeners with out of this?
First of all, I just think that people need to respect everyone, each other. I don't care what you're driving, or if you're a truck driver, you need to respect, you know, everyone's on the road for a reason. If we can just try and be more aware and just kinder to each other, that's always my takeaway. We just need to be kind to one another and just bridge the gap. We know we're not battling each other. We need to work together to keep each other safe.
Great work. And a reminder to perhaps anyone from government listening to this, we absolutely need something in the training, no matter what state around Australia you are listening in, that has our emerging drivers spending some time with truckies and learning to understand the kind of parameters that they operate on a daily basis, so that you make good choices when you are driving on the road for your own life, and also for the good truckies that are keeping this country going, so they don't end up with something like PTSD. Casharina, you are doing some fabulous work. Trucking with CJ is where you can find her on lots of different social media platforms. And we're indebted to you for coming on the Keep Your Wheels On podcast today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
On the next episode of Keep Your Wheels On.
This is the story of an incredible human that I met a few years ago. He ended up in a wheelchair after an accident in wet weather.
It just happened, and then it just escalated to a point where I was like, I can't believe this is happening right now.
The importance of driving to the conditions, awareness, the consequences or dangers, and why practical training is so vital.
It doesn't have to be cyclonic conditions. It can just be a shower of rain that just happens to, you know, come out of the afternoon.
I'm Rusty.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is Keep Your Wheels On. Keep Your Wheels On is a listener production brought to you in partnership with My Drive School. Hosted by me, Greg Rust, and Lisa Scaife. Audio production by Kelly Fulston. And executive producer is Todd Stevens.
The Keep Your Wheels On podcast was funded by the Australian government.
Listener.